Embark on a journey with us where resilience meets opportunity. This is the Dirt Road to Success.
Hi, I'm Skip Colvin, and welcome to Dirt Road to Success. Man, do we have an amazing guest with us today. Not only is he a good friend of mine, but he is super influential across the nation doing God's work. And I am so grateful that Senator Jason Raypert from Arkansas is here with me today. Senator, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate you for having me on the program, Skip. We've been old friends, and we, of course, would love to still have you up in the state of Arkansas, but I guess we're loaning you back to Texas for a season, my friend. And thank you for standing up for God and country and being salt and light in the public square.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator. And you're right. We have been friends for a long time, and you've been influential in my life and played a good role in some things that I needed to make decisions on. So I appreciate that. You know, really, there's a couple things. I really want our audience to get to know who you are and really about what you're all about. And obviously, we have talked about these many, many times. But I think it's important for the nation to recognize the hard work that you and your organization are doing. And I'm really excited to talk about that today. But before we get started, let's tell them a little bit about the grassroots of Jason Raypert before he became Senator Raypert.
Well, that's a big question. I'm telling you, I've got to be careful how I start trying to answer this. I'll eat up all of our time. But let me just tell you a little bit about how I got involved in the political process. Number one, I am a native of the state of Arkansas. And like many of you that are watching this program or listening to this program, I was raising my family, running our business, and quite happy doing that. And I also am an ordained minister, was doing mission work. Our ministry name is Holy Ghost Ministries. You can still look that up online as well, Skip, holyghostministries.org. And so I was leading mission teams to Ghana, West Africa. We were doing water well projects. We were doing malaria net distributions, and we were spreading the gospel. We literally saw thousands of people from 2004 until 2010 that came to know Christ. But God began dealing with me. As we all know, in 2008, this country elected Barack Hussein Obama to the presidency. And when that happened, things began to change and shift a bit in our nation. And I began to feel a calling on me. I would really describe it even a burden that I began to feel because I could see what was going on. As you know, I managed money for a living. I worked originally at Edward Jones and Merrill Lynch, and I was sitting across the table from people managing their money and giving them advice on how to save and invest for retirement, put their kids through college. And Skip, one of the interesting things that began to happen is I would get people to come into my office, and as we would meet, I'll never forget one particular gentleman. I told this story time and time again on the stump when I was first running for office. And this was a guy that had probably $1 million in his account. He had been referred to me. He also had a pension. He also was drawing Social Security. He was really in great shape for someone living in the state of Arkansas. He really didn't have a need for anything. But he looked across the table at me and he said, "Jason, I just don't have any hope for the future." Mm. And I begin to have this resonate. And I'm like, "What do you mean you don't have any hope for the future, brother? You've done it. You're in great shape." But what he was articulating is this sense that something is wrong in America, and this angst, this heaviness, which, by the way, is now 1,000 times increased from where it was in 2008 and 9 and 10. And so I began to have all this happening, and I began to feel this call, and so I began to seek advice from trusted advisors in my life. And I will tell you, if you don't have someone that you can turn to, that you can talk completely freely with and that will pray with you, you need to find that person. Iron sharpens iron. And that's what the word says in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. And you need that kind of person or those kind of people in your life. And so what happened, Skip, is I began to seek advice. People said, "Look, if you feel called to run for office, I really encourage you to do it." And so I really leaned into praying about the matter. And you know, in the book of John, the word says that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost would lead us into all truth and reveal all truth to us. And so I began to pray, and very clearly, I felt God's answer in my prayer time. And he said, why are you not sacrificing to serve at home at the same level that you've been sacrificing to serve overseas now that your country is in trouble?
Wow, that's powerful.
Well, that was it. And so what I did is that I immediately informed my wife of what I'd find that final answer in prayer. And she was with me. I resigned from Merrill Lynch and walked away from managing. I was part of a four-person team managing $165 million in assets, Skip. I walked away with the shoes on my feet, the shirt on my back, opened up a new office in a private so I could run for office, and filed for office all in the same 30 days. I would not recommend that to people, but that's what I did. And I ended up being elected in 2010. I was the first Republican elected since the end of the Civil War in that district in Arkansas. And that's what brought me to the arena. You know, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, how are we going to be blessed when we don't have godly people running for office? And that's what brought me to the arena. And I'll take a pause for any question you have and get into some of the battles and what we've seen since we got elected. But that's what brought me to the political arena. Our country is in trouble. It's in more trouble now than it was when I got started. And this is why we have formed what we think is one of the strongest forces for good in our country today, which is the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
Well, I agree. And you know, that is a mouthful when you think about you were called to go share the gospel. You're doing that all over the world. And then all of a sudden, God gets a hold of you and says, hey, I mean, that's a pretty powerful statement to say, why are you serving other places when you're not serving here at home? And you're right. 2008 was a difficult time for a lot of people. They saw things change, and it's progressively getting worse and worse each and every day. And, you know, as we look at what's happened in some of the infringements upon our freedoms, way things have changed throughout the nation, just the philosophy of what's going on, it does scare some people. So you go back and you talk to that guy you talked to in 08 or 07 or whenever that was, and you ask him what he thinks about today, and I bet his answer is even more dire. And you know, and I am so thankful. Of course, I've heard this story, and I do understand it, but it's very important for our audience to hear. You were doing ministry. You were doing what God called you to do. You're sharing the gospel. You're building the kingdom. But then God says, hey, it's time to shift gears, and it's time for you to do it at home. Now, as you became senator in that district in Arkansas, and that's where we met, attacks began coming. Now, we know darkness happens. We know that. We understand that from what Scripture says. But talk a little bit about some of the attacks that you and your family have overcome. Because really, you know, Dirt Road to Success is about overcoming challenges. And I don't know another brother in the state representative that's overcome as many challenges as you have. So if you don't mind sharing, share a little bit about those challenges.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. And as I share this, I want everybody to keep in mind, this is one of the primary reasons that we formed the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And you can go out and look more into that at christianlawmakers.com at your convenience. And so I got elected. I ran for office. And as you know, I'm a fiddle player. We talked about that before we got started. And so the Arkansas State instrument is the fiddle. And the Arkansas Traveler song is well known throughout. And so I played that fiddle and talked about saving this country and won a district. At the time, it was the largest geographical district in central Arkansas and the largest district in the state for the state Senate. And so I ran that race. And just like many of you that are probably drawn to watch Skip's show, I'm pro-life. I'm pro-marriage between one man and one woman. And I want to stand up for the values and the ideas and the ideals that made the country great. And so I ran what is now known as the Heartbeat Bill. And when I first ran that after being elected in 2010, the Democrats were still in control in the state of Arkansas, and they killed my bill in committee. They wouldn't let it go to the floor in its original form. And so in 2012, we had another election. And for the first time in 138 years, the Republicans took the majority in the state of Arkansas. For all of my friends out there behind enemy lines in states where you've got Marxists and communists that hold the seats of power right now, if you just organize and get motivated and put a little passion behind what you're doing, you might just see that you can change just like Arkansas did after 138 years. Well, that made all the difference, Skip. So we started that 2013 session and I ran the heartbeat bill again. And I said, I want to be able to save more babies' lives because it's a crime against humanity for the American people to have allowed babies to be slaughtered now over 63, 64 million since Roe v. Wade in 1973 legally. And we just needed to do something. And so I ran the heartbeat bill again. I got it out of committee and it came to the Senate floor. And for the first time, we were able to pass that off the Senate floor. Gentleman that you probably remember, Skip, named Jerry Cox of the Arkansas Family Council, met me outside of the doors after that bill passed that day. And he said, Jason, do you realize what you've just done? I said, well, we passed a good pro-life bill, Jerry. That's what we wanted to do. He said, no, Jason, you just passed the strongest pro-life bill to ever pass a legislative chamber since the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision. Well, I said, praise God. That's Amen. Good. What he was trying to let me know in a subtle way is that you better get ready. Well, the next morning I had a phone call from someone that said, Jason, you need to get your head up. I actually called me senator, said, you need to get your head up because there's a group called The Nation that's coming after you. Well, I was ready for opposition. That's fine. But I didn't know that The Nation is one of the most, I will just say, sadistic socialist rags ever created in the history of our country that's promoted socialism and Marxism and abortion and transgenderism and anything that goes against the word of God, they're for. Mm. Well, they did a hit piece on me. And within just probably 24 more hours, I experienced what we now know in our circles as our first national hit piece. Well, that came from Rachel Maddow and her television show on MSNBC. She did play a clip of me playing the fiddle, which was nice of her. She seemed to like that, but she didn't like what I stood for. And what she did that shocked me and changed our life, maybe I should go back and sue her over this. Maybe I'll see what the statute of limitations is. But she actually uttered things that resulted in death threats against my family, including allegations that I'm a racist and a bigot. Now, you got to remember, this was before Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And so they started these tactics on us even before Donald Trump. And so she did. She tried to make me out to be some sort of racist, which I am definitely not. What she didn't know is that I had done all that mission work. And so all of those African friends, those African-American friends that I had came to my side and that fell flat, but it was too late.
Well, let me stop you there.
Death threats from all over the country.
Let me stop you there because I think it's very important for our audience to realize, because she did not agree with what your decision was, which is what the people of Arkansas agreed, because legislation passed it. It went through the process in which it's supposed to go through. It got passed. But because she didn't agree, which seems to be a natural course of action for those on the Marxist socialist left, because they didn't agree, they come after you personally. They can't come after you on a principle standpoint because guess what? Your principle went through the right process and got voted in, okay?
That's right.
It's an attack on you personally, but it's also an attack on your family. And what they say is it's in the name of justice. Oh, it's in the name of justice. Well, it's not. You should never be able to attack somebody's family because they vote through something that is what the people of the state are calling for.
I just want to put a fine point on this. I believe it's very important that people understand the gravity of what people are dealing with outside of Donald Trump, which we now know we see in him. They'll do anything to destroy that man to try to keep him from winning the presidency again. Well, what they did, and I'm like you, I can take somebody being disagreeable with me. I've sat down at the table with people and had civil conversations who totally disagree with me on a political position. But when they did what they did, this is their go-to. When they can't kill the bill or they can't kill the message, then we'll just kill the messenger. That's right. What we'll do. We'll cancel them. And they know that certain things they say will cause unstable people to take actions that are out of their control. And so what happened is that we began to have so many threats come in. I was flooded with thousands of emails of support and also threats. I couldn't keep up with it. We had a lady that turned in one threat that was prompted a much deeper investigation. And that threat was that someone in what is called, if you remember, the old Occupy Wall Street groups.
Right.
These were kind of the radicals before Antifa and Black Lives Matter. You know, they occupied an area in New York City near Wall Street and then took it over, commandeered it, much like happened in Seattle just a few years ago. And they put a wanted poster out in their group and said, somebody needs to go shoot this expletive cult talking about me. And there were others. We had people that threatened to going to rape and kill my children, my daughters, going to rape and kill my wife, going to burn my house. We even had one. I've had one report over the years where a person was a self-described militant LGBTQ Antifa member. I had never heard of that until that description was made. And they lived in Austin, Texas, as a matter of fact. It was a woman. And she was going to come to Arkansas and eat me alive in front of my family. And this has gone on. And so the police said, and the law enforcement, state police said, you've got credible death threats. They actually told me to have my family leave the state because they could not guarantee the situation until they had vetted all of this out. And that's what happened. So here I am, a state senator, one of only 35 in the state of Arkansas, one of 7,383 state legislators in America. And here I'm being threatened, my wife and daughters and family being threatened because we stood for life.
For life.
We weren't trying to build a casino. We weren't trying to kill children. We're trying to save children. And this is what happened. And so through that process, I could say even more. We've got active death threats that have happened even in the last few months. You were with us in Washington, D.C. I don't know. I didn't advertise, but our security knew that we had a man that sent a message, said it would be good for someone to send a small metal object through my cranium. That person has continued to send messages, even saying that they know the response time to get to me and what it would take for police to get to me, and that many people were seeking my demise. And I will tell you, let me just say this in case that person's watching your show. I've got the power of the living God on the inside of me. Jason Rapert died a long time ago. You can do anything you want to my body, but you'll never kill the message.
Amen.
And I can tell you one thing is that Psalm 56:11 says, I put my trust in God. What can any man do to me? I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them individually or cooperatively, because I know now, I've seen what they do, and they have actually, in my opinion, Brother Skip, their threats, they've called us everything, they've attacked our business, they've done everything you can imagine. All you have to do is Google it and just look at what they've done.
Yep.
But here's the bottom line. They've liberated me because there's nothing that I have not experienced from these people. And this is one of the reasons when I talk with Governor Mike Huckabee and Congressman Bob McKeon and Tony Perkins and others and said, why do we not have a National Association of Christian Lawmakers in place? And they said, you know, we don't know, but you got to do it. It's time for this organization. And Governor Mike Huckabee said one of the most beautiful, simple things, aside from all of the policy things that we do at the NACL by uniting local, state, and federal lawmakers, we wanted every one of those Christians serving in office to know that you are not alone. You
That's
see, Skip, I never wanted them to go through not having somebody to have their back when the national leftist media attacks them and they're sitting out there like sitting ducks. They don't have anybody that's ready to help them. And so we have put together a network now where we have members and supporters in all 50 states. I have 35 states where state senator or state representative actually chairs in their state. And we formed in August of 20. We're about to have our seventh national meeting at Liberty University. It's our national policy conference, June 6th through 8, 2024. Would love to have any of you that want to stand up for God and country to join us. And this group of individuals, which also includes individuals that aren't yet serving in office, they're called armor bearer members. These individuals, we have seven standing committees. They debate and discuss every major policy issue that is going on in our world today, and they make proposals to handle those from a biblical worldview or a Christian worldview. And so if you're looking for an organization that is serious about saving the country and knows that we have to put God first in all things and uphold those values in the Declaration of Independence that our forefathers gave us that said we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, then you can have a home where you can work together with people and get things done at the NACL.
Well, I'm glad you used that word, biblical worldview, because that's one of my favorites. And leading up to that is, it really, I want to dig into that just a little bit. It's very important for our viewers to understand your history. You were serving in a lot of different capacities prior to serving in the Senate. But really, your armor got tested the most when you went to Senate. And and really what you did was you did what you were called to do. So if we are really called to be in office, and I'm not, I'm going to get on my soapbox here a minute. If you're called to be in office, it's not a career. Okay. You're called to be in office for a certain chapter or a certain period of time or a certain season in your life. You know, people that have been in office for 50 and 60 years, it really makes me question, why are they there? What is their purpose? You went in and you created something with the heartbeat bill, and not just that bill. That's just one example of some of the things that you've done. But the heartbeat bill is transformative across the nation. So when you think about a biblical worldview, your focus was on we need something to protect the unborn. And so if you don't mind, would you break down the heartbeat bill for people that may or may not know how this all started, this whirlwind across the nation started with your heartbeat bill?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking. I'll just tell you, it transformed my life. You know, I went in to simply do what we say we're going to do. And that's what I wish every elected official would do in office. And so, yes, I ran that bill to try to save lives. And the heartbeat bill is very simple in its concept. And that is to save all babies at the moment a heartbeat is present, that there would be no abortion on that baby. Just save the life. And the concept is very simple. We all understand that when there is a heartbeat, there is life. I can remember explaining in committee. I said, you know, if today one of us here fell over in cardiac arrest, we're going to stop these proceedings. We're going to call emergency personnel. They're going to come here. They're going to paddle. They're going to start doing CPR. They're going to work. Until what? There is a lack of a heartbeat and they can't get a heartbeat. And then that person is dead. Yeah. I would often do that. Commit people would, you know, if there's no heartbeat, they're dead. Why is it that the left has tried to convince us that taking the life of a human being with a beating heart is not wrong? That's very strange to me. We should protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. And so when I ran that heartbeat bill, I got to the point a while ago, we passed it off the Senate. We ultimately passed it off the House floor. And then guess what? Governor Mike Beebe, a Democrat, vetoed that bill. Hmm. And I'm going to go, since we got a little time and you've asked, I'm going to tell people about a very private moment. I've told it publicly before. Well, the governor had been tracking this bill throughout the entire time. And I do want to give credit if Governor Beebe sees this. He opposed me politically. But when I was threatened and the state police informed him that I had credible threats against my life, I remember going into his office. In fact, one of my black brothers went with me that day, a preacher friend that was my personal chaplain that day. We went in his office. It was filled with people, and they informed him of what was happening. He said, Jason, as long as your family feels unsafe, you'll have state police protection to help your family. I've always given him credit for that, because that was a moment where he could have decided to act like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Barack Obama and just destroy it, just allowed the process to destroy us. But he stood with me, and I believe in getting credit where credit's due. But he vetoed my bill, he ultimately vetoed it, but he brought me in for one last time for discussion. He said, well, Senator, I know you've worked hard on this bill and you've passed the bill. He said, but look, son, your bill's unconstitutional. I'm going to have to veto that bill. And he said, I know you put a lot of work into it. He said, but it's just unconstitutional. I just can't let it go forth. And so when he stopped, I said, you know, Governor, I appreciate you talking with me again. And I settled it in myself when I came in here to speak with you that I'm not going to argue with you. You see, I've given you a choice. I've given you a choice to save the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of little babies. And that's a choice that you've never really been given as the governor of the state of Arkansas. And it's a choice that when it passes by, you may never get again. And I said, so I'm not going to argue with you. And I said, you know, and he had told me earlier that he had laid his hand on the Bible and he had swore to uphold the U.S. Constitution and that my bill's unconstitutional. I said, Governor, you brought up the U.S. Constitution. I said, you know, there is no right to an abortion ever articulated in the United States Constitution whatsoever. I said, and as far as any precedent, judicial precedent is concerned, it was that court of 1973 that broke with precedent that suddenly declared that life wasn't worth protecting when our very declaration said we are endowed by our Creator with life. That's the most important fundamental and original civil right we have is the right to be, the right to life. I said, so as far as the U.S. Constitution, I'm glad you brought that up and we could clear that matter up for you. Now, as far as the Arkansas Constitution is, Governor, the Arkansas Constitution does say we're going to protect life from conception. So if there's anybody in this room breaking their oath, that would be you. As far as the Bible is concerned, you said you put your hand on the Bible. I'm so glad you brought that up because Jeremiah said that he knew, God said he knew Jeremiah before he formed him in the womb.
Amen.
The Bible talks about protecting innocent life. And about that time, his chief of staff piped up and he said, well, sounds like you're getting ready to get rid of the death penalty, Senator. I said, you know, I've been thinking about it. I said, because Governor, you actually came to us at your mansion a few weeks ago and said that if we would put a bill on your desk, getting rid of the death penalty in Arkansas, that you would sign it. And I was hoping that somewhere, the same place in your heart, that would get you to say you wanted to sign a bill that would spare the life of murderers that kill innocent people would be the same place that would want you to save the lives of innocent babies. Mm. He vetoed the bill. I then overrode that veto on March the 6th, 2013. The very first heartbeat bill was passed in the United States of America right here in Arkansas, and it set loose a discussion that moved the ball that has now ended up in over 15 states passing those. And then with the Dobbs decision, I've got to throw this in. I passed another bill after that because we went to court and the old federal judges that have been just a part of Sodom and Gomorrah struck that bill down. And guess what? We decided we're going to come a different way. So 2019, I passed a bill that was called a Life at Conception Act. And it said that if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, that Arkansas bans all abortion except to save the life of a mother in a medical emergency. And as I argued that bill, people would say, now, Senator, you mean nothing happens with this unless Roe v. Wade's overturned? That's right. It's a trigger bill. Oh, okay. I can vote for that. You see, they didn't want to be on record for the real fight, but they were willing to vote to go back home to get the votes from the people, you see. And so I knew it was a sleeper. Right. And we were the fifth state in the country to do that, by the way. We weren't the first on the trigger bill. Well, guess what? June the 22nd, 2022, as we opened the NACL meeting at the College of the Ozarks up near Branson, Missouri, news broke that the Supreme Court had overturned Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs decision. And that afternoon, I got to walk in there. I was answering questions, doing television interviews. And I got to sit down and watch as my bill required the attorney general to certify immediately that Roe was overturned and that all abortion was ended. And on June the 22nd of that day, I watched as the Arkansas attorney general and the governor went out, certified my bill into law. And at that moment, all legal abortions ended except to save a life of a mother in a medical emergency. We have now in Arkansas been named four times the most pro-life state in the country, but Skip, the fight is still on for life because now the Planned Parenthood people and the abortionists that have a bloodlust that never ceases. And it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19, there are six things that God hates, Skip. Yea, seven are an abomination, and one of those are hands that shed innocent blood. So we're in a fight in Arkansas because they want to change our Constitution, do away with all of our laws now. They're trying to get signatures. And I'm telling everybody that hears this, decline to sign. Don't sign any petition to have an abortion vote in any state in the country. They just want to kill more babies. This is worth a fight worth having. This is one of those battles that we went through. And as you know, we've gone through the Ten Commandments as well.
Yep.
I'm telling you, Skip, we need men like you and women of God that will stand up and say, we are not giving our country over to the devil. I've read the 66 books of the Bible, and you read through them too, Skip. There's no place in there where angels vote. People do. And so when you stay home and you don't vote, you're just giving your children over to devils that would put absolute horrible things in front of them in school libraries. There's no child in America that needs to be taught how to have oral sex, especially with another little boy or another little girl. There's no place in America where we need a hairy legged man to dress up in a dress and hold a story time hour. There's no place in America where it makes any sense that they cut the penis off of a little boy or cut the breasts off of a little girl when scientists say there is no way to possibly change the sex of these people. I'm begging everybody that's listening to me, and if you never hear anything I ever say again, if you don't stand up for your country right now, you're going to lose America, and you're going to see the future of your children and your grandchildren completely destroyed. The devil is at the gate, and God has placed all of us here for this time, for this purpose. And I'm proud of people like Skip Colvin that are willing to let me come and speak my heart and tell you the truth, because the truth is a scarce commodity in America today.
Amen. I want to come back to that, because I'm going to get fired up over this too. Listen, this is out of control. Okay, this critical race theory, this the anti-Semitism, the, you know, this story hour that they bring in these whatever they call them, these men in dresses and do these shows and all this stuff. This is out of control. And you know, here it's a hidden message for sexual harassment, child molestation, pedophilia, and all that stuff. That's all it is. And you know, this is just getting completely out of control. And you know what? This is going to be one of the hottest topics, I think, going into this election in the fall, is that we that want our rights are being infringed upon because the media, the absolute media, has taken over the messaging. The real story is not getting out. You're not hearing about the crime on crime or the different shootings around the country. All you want to hear is these initials, LGB, whatever that is, that the nonsense that's going on across the nation. And they're attacking our schools. They're putting the books in the libraries and schools. And I know you've got a part of that. You're playing a part in getting that out of there. I had Julie Pickren on, I think one of our shows about a month and a half ago. And Julie is over District 7, I think SBOE here in Texas. And she is working tirelessly to get that crap out of our libraries and our schools. There's no place for it there. There's no place for it. Do you want to talk a little bit about your role there?
Well, you know, absolutely. Of course, I've been out of the Arkansas Senate since December of 22. It was really the first of 23. Mm-hmm. And I'm fully focused on building up the NACL and supporting our men and women around the country that are running many of these bills to protect your children. And so I got a call, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I wanted to appoint me to the Arkansas Library Board. There's a lot of people didn't even know a library board existed. It's the state level in Arkansas. And that board has money from the state and also the federal government that they appropriate to libraries. And the state of Arkansas legislators and Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders signed their bill, passed what's called Act 372, that would say, you're going to be responsible if you put these kind of obscene materials in front of children. You can be held responsible as a library or librarian or a teacher. Guess what? The Cowles Library, the Central Arkansas Library System, headed by Nate Coulter, a failed Democrat candidate that ran several times, who's now made it his fiefdom over there, they sued the state of Arkansas because they don't want to do the job of protecting these children. They are part of the what's called the American Library Association that says there should be no restrictions at any age for any reason for material to be taken by these kids.
I got to stop you right there. Got to stop you. Let's think about what you're saying. You're okay. If I'm in a grocery store and I give a child a pornographic magazine, I'm a pedophile. That's the law. That's the way that works, right? You're infringing upon. But now in our school libraries or our state libraries, you can find that material where a child can go in and check it out. This is crazy talk, Senator. This is crazy town.
It absolutely is, and I'm not going to be able. I don't have time to read you a whole list, but I'll just tell you is that I've said before that the pictures that I've seen in the books that have been in public schools and in these libraries, if you texted those pictures or had them on your phone, you could be accused of child pornography just for having those on your phone. But it's okay to put it in a library and give it to a child. It makes no common sense whatsoever. And let me just put it really blunt point on this. You know, I am Sarah Huckabee Sanders appointed me to this. And I said, Sarah, you know, you may have all of them resign as soon as I'm appointed. Well, after I've got there, maybe that's what ought to happen. Because I was one of the first conservatives appointed to that board. And do you know, I made a motion the other day, the first board meeting I was at, that simply said, I believe it's prudent, good business for us not to release funds to the libraries that are suing the state of Arkansas, which we represent, and it's taxpayer money. If they're going to sue us over that, let's just hold their money until that litigation is over with. Do you realize that those ladies would not support that motion? I didn't even have a second for that motion. Let me just tell you something, Skip Cohen. I'm going to make sure they get the chance to vote on that kind of motion often and regularly. All they did is let me know where they all stand. I just pulled them on out in the light. Yep. That's where I want them. Yep. Just make sure where you all stand. And I'm going to make you vote every time. I so wish that Channel 4, Channel 7 would get a clip off of this and play it, because I'm letting you know. I am not going to sit around. I don't care if you're a gray-haired old man or a gray-haired old woman. If you don't have enough sense to protect children in public, you have no business whatsoever sitting on a board. You have no business whatsoever serving in a public office. And I'm scared of you. Yeah. I don't want you around my children and my grandchildren. If you think it's okay that you would rationalize talking to them about sexual activities, which some of the books, by the way, include rape. They include forcible sexual activity. And this is happening. I just had a state rep last night contact me. Scholastic, you remember the Scholastic book fairs that we used to all love?
Yeah, a little magazine, you buy all the books. Yep.
Yeah. That actually, I'm gonna mention this to you. He gave me the name of a book that I have actually looked up. This book showed up in a book fair at an elementary school. And here it is. The name of the book is Possess Me. The book has a homosexual character, focuses on demons and dead spirits possessing children. In this book, what in the wide world is Scholastic doing actually offering that kind of book to minor children? You see, what's happening is that we have gone past. Let me tell you something. You remember, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
He sure did.
Let me share a very important point for you. I don't know anywhere in the Bible that discusses an instance where a kingdom or a nation killed over 60 million little babies. I don't know in the Bible where there's any instance where they cut the penises off of little boys and the breasts off of little girls. This has gone over the edge into absolute sodomite lifestyle and behavior. And the Bible says God will not put up with it. In Romans chapter 1, if you want to read a nice little Bible study tonight, go read Romans chapter 1, and you'll find out what God thinks. Now, this isn't what Jason is saying. This isn't what I'm just thought up. I'm telling you that the Bible is true. God is just, and his mercy will not suffer forever, which is an echo of what Thomas Jefferson said when he got worried about the country. I'm worried about the country because America is allowing things that even the Bible never wrote about, was never written of in the Word. And this is the sort of thing where I wish that people, God, the Holy Spirit would absolutely awaken people that we need you. There is a sleeping giant still in America, Skip, and it's the church. Over half of the evangelical Christians in America during the last presidential election cycle were not even registered to vote, okay? And then half of them that are registered, they aren't voting. See, this tells me I don't have to worry about Georgia and Arizona and Michigan or Pennsylvania if I can get pastors to preach the word and tell their congregations to go vote. If you can get a school bus and run people halfway across the country to play softball, you can get a bus and take them to vote, brother. There's nothing illegal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to take a breath for you because I'm telling you, the nation has to get up, and we want them to come to Christian lawmakers and help us save the country.
Well, that's a great segue into NACL. So I want to talk a little bit about what I saw in December in D.C., but I want to talk about NACL. So if you're listening, and I pray that people will spend the hour to listen to this because it is powerful. If you're a parent, you need to stand up. If you're a believer, if you go to church and you believe in the Lord, you need to stand up. If you love your kids, you need to stand up. Because guess what? If we don't stand up, then who will? Okay? The whole purpose to me, and this is the layman's terms right here, Senator, but NACL is a platform where we, the normal people, the grassroots people, have a voice with you. Okay? We can go and say, hey, we don't like what's going on, and by gosh, we want something done about it. So you said 35 states are involved. That's not enough. It needs to be all 50 states.
50 states are involved, but okay. 35 states have a chair.
All 50 states need to have a chair. If you're listening to this, and as an individual, you need to go to ChristianLawmakers.com and join. As a city council member, you need to go join. As a elected judge, as an elected commissioner, it doesn't matter your role in the nation. If you're fed up with our voice not being heard, then you need to go join, and you need to make sure that your local lawmakers are working with NACL to create legislation that gives us a voice. Because if we don't, then they just keep taking them away. So with that, I'll turn it over to you to talk about NACL, how you founded it, why you founded it, what's going on, and how can we get involved?
Sure. Well, I have before me something I am going to raise up because somebody may be able to stop that long enough to get that QR code. Mm-hmm. And that actually takes them to our website.
Put that QR code on our website. We'll put it on there.
Yeah. And what you can see is a picture from that meeting with Speaker Mike Johnson that came and was recognized at our meeting in Washington, D.C. And I want to say to people, pray for Mike Johnson. He's the best person that you've had sit in that seat in many, many, many decades, frankly, because he will openly talk about his faith. Is he under pressure and is he managing an almost unmanageable situation? You better believe it. He's got the toughest job in politics trying to hold that together with that slim majority. Everybody says they're going to take him out when they don't get their way. You know exactly what he's dealing with. It's high pressure. So at the NACL, here's what we do. And I'm going to give a little insight for that person that may think, what is this? What happened? Why is it important? Well, Tim Barton's on our advisory board. He got up at an original meeting in 2020 and he said, historically, you're the first national association of Christian lawmakers that's been organized in the history of the country. But he reminded us that Alexander Hamilton, a founding father, Skip, wrote a letter to James Baird, another founding father, in 1802. And in that letter, about a third of the way into it, all of a sudden, Alexander Hamilton says, we need to form a Christian constitutional society to protect the United States Constitution and also to further the Christian religion in America. Brother, we had no idea. I did not know about that letter until it was revealed, and I immediately recognized God was speaking to Alexander Hamilton about doing the very thing that we have now put together and done. that's important to us. I just thank God that we know about it and that we had this letter to look to. And so we have formed this entity, and inside of the political arena, they have what is called para legislative organizations. These are organizations a lot of people don't know about unless they're dealing with elected officials. And these are groups that come together to discuss and debate things and to make proposals that end up in your state capitals or in your city councils to be passed to handle issues. Well, I was fortunate to be elected a president of one of those called the National Council of Insurance Legislators. Democrats and Republicans are part of it. It's a 50-year-old organization dealing with insurance and financial services. Then there's the American Legislative Exchange Council. That's also members from all over the country, and they come together regularly to debate issues. Then there's National Conference of State Legislators, and I could name some others. The distinguishing thing is, though, they don't deal with the issues that I've just discussed here. They run from them like a hot potato, right? They don't want to touch them. And so we openly embrace discussing the issues that are important to you and your family. Now, taxes are important. Good roads are important. I'm all there on that. But you know what? The moral decline and spiritual decline of the country is what's destroying the nation.
Right.
And so we openly discuss it from a biblical worldview. So we are the only faith-based paralegislative group in the country. And so we have seven standing committees, and the school board members, the state legislators, the congressmen, they come together and they discuss these just like you would see in a regular legislative committee. And they take testimony. In fact, in December, we had the National School Chaplains Association came and said, we would love for the NACL to consider adopting our school chaplains bill as a national model. We passed it in Texas. Well, guess what? The NACL took that issue up, put it on the table, and now school chaplaincy bills are running all over the country. Florida just passed it with our help. I've got one of our guys running it in Maryland, one of our guys running it in Kansas. It's running in Pennsylvania. It's running everywhere. In fact, last night I saw a clip from the Satanic Temple that was talking about us passing all these school chaplaincy bills. You know, he's one of my friends because of the Ten Commandments, which I'll hit back here in just a minute. And so we debate these issues. And then if it's passed at the committee level, then it goes to the executive committee. If that's passed there, it becomes a national model. Well, that entity has passed 24 different national model laws, model statutes, or ordinances or resolutions. And one thing I'm very proud of is that the seventh standing committee, Skip, is the America Israel Committee. We are the only paralegislative group out of any of them in the country that has a standing committee on America-Israel relations. We had one of the ministers of public diplomacy at our meeting in December. I correspond regularly with the Israeli embassy out of Washington, as well as Israel Bonds, which is their finance arm. In fact, I'm not ashamed to say, and very happy and grateful, I just got informed that they are sponsoring our next meeting coming up, Israel Bonds. If you want to support Israel in a very real way right now, because Joe Biden and the Democrats are now funding the enemy in Gaza, building a port, going to be giving aid and comfort to the people that slaughtered those little babies and killed more people on one single day than since the Holocaust of World War II, then go help Israel. You can come and get engaged with us, but you can go to Israel Bonds, Skip. You can open an account, buy a $100 bond to help the nation of Israel.
And
you can
put $1 million in it. What's the website?
Israel Bonds. They just go Israel Bonds. That's okay. Israel Bonds. Great. You probably do .com or .org, and you can do that. And tell them Jason Rapert sent you. That would be good if you do that.
Yeah.
And I can, by the way, if you're an institutional person, you know I still have a private business. If you're an institutional person and you're serious about it, you have a foundation, or you have a portfolio managed by a bank or an insurance company, and you want to get in touch directly with the people that run Israel Bonds, which are AAA rated, I'd be glad to do it. By the way, you're not giving your money away. You're investing it like a CD. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it back, but they need your help right now. But we take a stand because God said that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who bless Israel shall be blessed, and those who curse Israel shall be cursed. And the NACL is very, very much in tune with supporting the nation of Israel, because that is probably one of the reasons that America has even been sustained the way that we have through the last 50 years. So that is a snapshot of how we work. We would love for you to get involved. And one of the best things to do is to come to the June 6th through 8th conference at Liberty University. There are a bunch of hotels surrounding the university. It's a beautiful campus in Lynchburg, Virginia. You can go visit Appomattox Courthouse, where General Lee and General Grant met and ended the Civil War. Hmm. You can also go visit the Thomas Jefferson Summer Home, which is very close. And then there is a huge D-Day memorial that's been built very near that area too. It's a beautiful place to come. So Skip, the bottom line is apathy has been killing the country. And so when I talk about the lack of Christian voter participation, and even Arkansas in the recent primary, only 20% of the eligible voters turned out to vote. What's happening is that people's apathy are allowing the ungodly and the unjust to make laws and to run our country. The Bible says, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God's perfect will was he made man and woman, male and female, he created them. And then he said, go out and multiply, replenish and fill the earth and subdue it and take dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds in the air, over everything that creeps on the earth. And I like to say even the creeps. And what's happened is the church has said, no, thanks. We're going to eat popcorn, drink Pepsi and watch reality TV. We're going to play on Facebook all evening. We're going to get mad. We're going to post a few things. But when it comes time for that person is standing up fighting for you, you don't give them $1, not $1. And what I'm telling you, you can be the person that gives money to help that Christian candidate. You can be that person that knocks the doors for that Christian candidate. And if you're a pastor, for goodness sake, start preaching the truth from your pulpit and tell people to register to vote and go vote the Bible. If we did that, we'll turn the country around. If we don't, then just like poor old Lot one of these days, maybe some of us will get to walk away and you're going to see this country falter. And you can't blame Jason Rapert, Skip Colvin if it falters and you didn't do anything, because we're telling you to take a stand. And I'll tell you right now, Skip, I know we got to be getting close to the end here for you, but I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be accountable for what we have done or what we did not do to save this nation and to save this country as one of the champions of the gospel in the history of the world. I don't want to lose America on my watch, and I'm not going to live like the Democrats want us to live. And you say, Jason, you're getting political. You better believe
you dang right I am. Yep.
Because when the Democrats rejected God at one of their national conventions, and the atheists have taken over many of the formal power positions, when they've got Muslims that they're electing to office that care more about their Islamic home countries than they do America, when they leave the borders open and let fentanyl come across the border and kill our children, kill our friends, kill our family members, when we just simply need to protect the house, just protect the border, they don't love America the way you and I should love America.
I agree.
So if you're in the Democrat Party, get out of it. Get out of it. Wake up. Get free and get delivered. And as far as the National Association of Christian Lawmakers is concerned, we'll take anybody that wants to save the country and loves the Lord. But I will tell you this. It's real hard in America today to say you're a Christian and vote for Democrats.
Well, I will say this, and obviously we got all the time in the world for you, Senator, but I know you've been busy and you're gracious to give me a little bit of time today. But here's what I'm hearing. We need to stand up and get involved. We need to roll our sleeves up. We need to stop being apathetic and being complacent and complicit. Because if you're not voting, then you're as complicit by what That's you do. Right. By not giving your voice, you've basically given them their voice. So I'm asking you, stand up, take a stand for what you believe in. We may not always agree on everything, and that's okay. But as long as we can have a sound and solid course of action, we can move forward. Doesn't mean we'll always agree. But I will tell you this, we got to stand up and we got to fight. If we love this nation, we've got to fight. Get involved and go ahead and join NACL. Find out what it's like. Take a look at it. Get involved with your local legislation and have your voice heard. We've got to stop standing by and think somebody else is going to pick up the armor and go, we got to pick it up and make it happen. So, Senator, I'm so grateful for you being on the show. It means a lot to me. Obviously, our friendship is very important to me. I'm going to continue to pray, and I'm going to ask our audience to pray for you and your family and your organization. But let's take it one step further. As an audience, let's pray for our nation. So thank you, Senator. I appreciate you being on the podcast with Dirt Road to Success. Look forward to your success in the future. And all, as always, you're welcome guest here. Go check out ChristianLawmakers.com. NACL, ChristianLawmakers.com. Thank you, Senator. See you soon.
Thanks for having me.